Yeah, that's right. We can store secret things underneath here. All right. Also, if you didn't notice on the way in, our plants that we, the seeds that we planted are in the entryway. And it's just so cool to just notice how much growth has happened in such a short amount of time. Was it 2 weeks ago that we planted those seeds? We talked about, dying to ourselves, about there's this idea embedded in the resurrection and all throughout God's creation of life coming out of rebirth and metamorphosis and change, and how we want to give of ourselves to the Lord. And it's neat to see how quickly so much growth has happened. Some of those plants have grown several inches already. And spiritual life is a lot like that. When we put our faith in Christ, it can spring up quickly in our lives, this new life and this new experience that we have. But it's also a very fragile time. Those plants are we have to be careful with them at this point because they could die off. And Jesus speaks about that in his parables as well, is that life can spring up quickly and then die off if it doesn't take root. So just thinking about the spiritual significance as we look at those things and think about the new life God is doing in us. So just encourage you to think about those things as you notice those plants. Now, for today, I want to continue on our theme throughout Lent of this idea of self-sacrifice. As I said, we find this throughout Scripture, that the idea of overcoming sin and living in the fullness of God often involves giving something up, letting go of things that we cling to, things that we depend on this world, when we know and trust that what God gives us is better, far better than what this world and what our self-focused nature often focus on. And we get stuck in those patterns and choices that limit us, hurt those around us. That's the nature of sin. And so we need to give up. We need to let go. We need to submit ourselves, all part of that cycle of life. And so today, I want to take a look at a parable of Jesus. It's probably very familiar to most of us here. And consider some things about this that we don't necessarily often associate with self-sacrifice, but really does involve us giving of ourselves in several ways. So I'm going to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to begin in verse 14. I'll give you a moment to look at that. As I said, this is a very common, very well-known parable. You probably recognize it, most of you, as we read it. 14. This is the parable of the talents. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and begin reading. Verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey. Let me just stop there. For it, when Jesus says for it, he's talking about the kingdom of God, the coming of God into the world. So he says, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a very long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much more. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, he who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed, so I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. At my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant out into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So Jesus is telling this parable, this story, to illustrate some aspects of what it'll be like for him, for us, when he returns one day. The time that he comes back to execute God's final judgment on the world. He is the master who's going away, and we are the servants being entrusted to manage his affairs while he's away. When he speaks about a talent in this parable, he's actually speaking about a measure of wealth that the servants are given. In ancient Rome, a talent was a unit of measure for the weight of silver or gold. The talent is the largest one we know of from the Bible, and the value of money was determined by the weight that it had. So a talent is equal to about 75 pounds of silver or gold. So you can imagine 5 talents that this one servant was given. That's a lot of money. That's 375 pounds worth of gold or silver that he was given. This man was entrusting each servant with a large portion of his wealth. And the good and faithful servants invest that wealth and get a good return, each one doubling what they were originally given. They were rewarded with a greater portion to work with, and they earn the trust of their master to be able to do even more. And of course, that lazy or slothful servant acted out of fear and did nothing. He simply returned the 1 talent he was given. He held on to it. He didn't lose it. He was afraid of what his master might think, and so he just gave the 1 talent back without ever doing anything with it, not even putting it into bank to earn interest. And so what he had was taken away from him and given to a more trustworthy servant. And the lesson in this for us really is that God expects us to be good stewards with what he gives us, what he entrusts us with. Jesus has gone from the earth for now. He ascended into heaven and has left us here to carry on his work. Jesus established the church for the purpose of being his witness in the world, to upholding the great commandment, loving God with all of our hearts and loving others, making disciples throughout the world, leading people into that life-changing relationship with Jesus. And the gifts we have received from God to carry on that work, things like God's word, his wisdom and knowledge, the fellowship that we enjoy with him and one another, are not meant for us to just hold on to and enjoy for ourselves, but rather to invest in others and invest in the world. It's meant to invest, to be a shining light for him in this world. We're commanded to take what he has given us and use it to produce a good return and show ourselves to be trustworthy and faithful servants. When Jesus returns, he expects there to be some return on the work or return on the investment that he's left with us. And the Bible describes this in other places as bearing good fruit. For example, let's take a look at Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 14. There, Colossians 1. And here Paul writes, "So from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." There's so many wonderful things that Paul says in there about God qualifying us, inviting us into his kingdom. But notice Paul says in there that we fully please the Lord by bearing fruit for him in every good work. To please, to live a life pleasing to the Lord means that we are out in the world doing the work that he's given us, using what he's invested in us to produce good fruit in this world and increasing in our knowledge of him. When we do these things, Paul says that we will be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. And some of the things that we'll experience as we invest what God has given us is that we'll have greater endurance and greater patience with joy in the work that he's given us. And we'll come back to that statement a little bit later, but the point for now is that being a faithful steward to Jesus or bearing good fruit for him comes from taking what he's given us and giving it away, doing good work with it, investing it for Jesus' sake. We're not meant to just keep these things for ourselves. And this can be really difficult for us to do for a number of different ways. It can be really difficult to let go of the blessings that the Lord gives us. There's such joy in receiving them. And you don't always think right away that when God has filled us with such love and such with his presence that it's meant for us to give to others. Or there might be some fear involved in, well, what if I give this away? Will there be enough for me? But God's word is clear that he intends for us to give what he has given us for the sake of others. We see that in the parable of the talents. And not only that, he gives us such an abundance that we have more than enough to give away without any fear of losing what we have. I'm just going to read for us 2 Corinthians 9. 10 through 11. Where Paul writes, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." So God supplies all that we need so that we can sow it. He enriches us in every way so that we can be generous. Jesus talks about what God gives us being filled to overflowing. And so we need not fear that we're going to lose what we have as we give it away, but we need to understand that what God has given us and trusted us with is meant for us to be generous with, not just to hold on to for ourselves. Sometimes we fear that we won't produce enough return for God or that we'll get the right kind of results. We fear that we're not going to do things the right way or that we're not skilled or capable enough to do the work that God has given us. Or maybe we fear sometimes what will happen to us, what others will say and do to us. And there certainly always are risks involved in making any kind of investment. But over time, consistent investment always produces a return. And I think that's why it's so significant that Paul says in Colossians that God's power will give us perseverance and patience with joy. Right? When we give what God has given us, we start to invest in this world and try to be faithful stewards as we're waiting for Jesus' return. We're going to see those results, and God is going to give us greater endurance for the work because we don't always see the results that we want right away. Maybe things will not go well initially, but then turn around later. And so God is going to gift us with the perseverance to keep going, and he's going to give us joy as we patiently await the work that he's going to do. And I think it's significant that Jesus uses this example of investing money, again, because there's risk that we may lose something. We may not get what we expect out of it, but we can trust in his faithfulness and in his enduring love, his grace and his power to produce change in this world that we cannot on our own. When you think about it, it really is typically fear at the root that holds us back. And that's what held the one servant back who did not invest the talent he was given. Maybe he was afraid of losing it or investing in the wrong things. Maybe he was afraid of what his master would think if he didn't produce enough of a return, whatever that might be. Or if he didn't invest it properly. He expressed how he was afraid of his master's response. And so he held back, not wanting to lose what he was given. But because he acted on that fear, let that fear hold him back, he did not produce the return that was expected of him. So rather than taking any chances, he hid it in the ground. And he was a poor steward. So God wants us to set fears aside and be faithful and productive servants. Now, we certainly want to be wise about the work that we do for the Lord. But we need to also be willing to let go of our concerns sometimes and just invest what God has given us into this world. Trust God to work through the efforts that we have to produce a return for Him. So let's now consider some of the things that God asks us to invest. What has God entrusted us with that we can give to the world? What are we talking about when we talk about being faithful stewards to the Lord? And very commonly, when you hear teaching on this parable that Jesus told, the parable of the talents, we associate the talents that Jesus spoke about with the talents that we have in terms of our English translation of the word talents, our gifts, our skills, our abilities, right? And God calls us to use the abilities that He's given us for His work. It is true that the Bible teaches us that God gifts each one of us with certain skills and abilities. There's things that we learn through our experiences of life, and God asks us to use those things for His good, to give of ourselves for His work. And there are a couple of different ways the Bible speaks about those gifts from God. For example, we read in Ephesians 2 that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared ahead of time for us to do. So each one of us, God has laid out a path that He desires for us to take, and He has given us, He's prepared the work for us, and He has prepared us for that work. Psalm 139 expresses how God knew each one of us while we were still being formed in our mother's womb. And He knew all the days of our lives before we ever saw the light of day. And so we possess certain abilities that God has planned for us in our lives. Each person is unique and distinct in the way that He has designed us and the path that He set us on in life to use those abilities and develop those things. We also understand that there is another type of gift that God gives us as we put our faith in Jesus, and as we invite the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the Bible speaks about spiritual gifts. Paul especially expresses this in 1 Corinthians 12 when he talks about the body of Christ, how there's one Spirit who gifts each person in different ways. And he mentions gifts such as healing and words of knowledge and wisdom, the working of miracles and prophecy, speaking in other tongues. In Romans 12, he talks about gifts as generosity, teaching, leading, performing acts of mercy, hospitality, all these things we understand to be gifts of the Holy Spirit in terms of the ways the Spirit empowers us to do the work that He calls us to do. Throughout the Old Testament, we read about individuals being empowered by the Holy Spirit for specific purposes. And now that Jesus has come, we understand that each one of us is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And we have the Holy Spirit working within us and empowering us for God's work day after day. And I've really come to understand that those giftings, those spiritual giftings, aren't necessarily set in stone in our lives. God changes us and grows us and calls us to different things at different points in our life. And we trust that He empowers us and He calls us into things that we may not be naturally talented on, but that He is going to give us abilities for. And so this is one way of understanding the parable of talents, that we have these abilities and these gifts that God has given us. And it really is proper, I think, for us to understand that those are gifts from God. It's not, the focus shouldn't be on this is who I am and this is what I have to give or how I am made and how I am skilled, but rather God has made me this way, and he has provided me with these gifts and talents, and I want to use them for his sake. To be a faithful steward is to take all those abilities that we have and offer them to God in whatever way he may want to use them for his glory. He's given those things for you to invest into others for his good purposes. And then when you stop and think about this parable, though, and I think about the immense value of what the master gave to his servants, I start to think that my gifts and abilities aren't the most valuable gift that God has given me. He has given me some far more valuable gifts, and maybe I ought to think about how I'm investing those things in the world. And I want to throw that out to you for just a moment. Can you think of any other gifts that God has entrusted us with that he may be calling us to use for his sake in the world? Things that might be far more valuable than just what you're able to do. What do you think? The first kind, well, go ahead. I heard something. Yes, his ultimate gift was dying for his sins, and that puts me in mind of God's grace and mercy, like you said. The most valuable gift that God has given us is his grace, his mercy over us. Jesus came into the world and died for us while we were yet sinners. It's a foundational understanding of who Jesus is and what he's done. We did not deserve his death and resurrection. Every one of us has fallen short of God's glory and God's righteousness. Jesus makes it clear, or the gospel makes it clear, that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Right? We praise God for this all the time. We thank God for his unending grace. His mercies are new every day. I'm so thankful. His mercies are fresh every single day. I know I need that. When Jesus came and interacted with the people of his time, how did he respond to those sinful people? I think about the woman who was brought before him, who was caught in adultery. She was guilty of the sin. And the men who brought her before Jesus and asked him about stoning her were just following the law. They were doing what the law demanded them to do. She deserved to die along with the person she was committing adultery with. And how did Jesus respond to that? Let he who is not sin cast the first stone. And they all dropped their stones and walked away. And Jesus, if he was following the laws of the land, he should have just joined them and made sure this woman faced the consequences of her sin. But he did not. He extended her grace. Yes, he did follow the law and saying, let's do that for all of you then. Yeah. Yeah. He was looking to a bigger picture of what God is doing in the world. He had a greater understanding of the law than we did. And he showed her mercy because her life was not defined by that moment. It wasn't defined by that sin. He saw an opportunity beyond that moment to say, maybe she could turn her life around. Maybe through grace and mercy, she could have a new life. And Jesus gives us that gift. Have you experienced the goodness of that, of knowing that God's grace has given you a new opportunity to be a different person than you were just yesterday? What an amazing gift that is. So the question for us today is, how do we steward that gift in our world, the gift of grace that we've received? Is that gift of grace just for us who have put our faith in Christ? And I bring this up partially not only because that's just an amazing gift, but I think about how overall Christians are viewed in our world today. We're viewed more, we're understood more for what we're against and how we, what we want the world to be like than we are for our grace and our mercy. What people shouldn't be doing. Right, right. That's the general view of Christians today. And I really try to be careful with this. I do not want to point fingers at anyone. And I'm not blaming, but it is a reality. Is this is how the church is viewed today. And is there something we can do about that? Winnie, Willow has something to share? Yeah. Very good. Could, do you want to read it? Can I want me to read it through the mic, or do you want to read it through the mic so everyone can hear? There you go.
God gave you the gift of His Word, so share it. Don't keep it. Be selfless, not selfish.
Good. That summarizes what we're talking about today very well. Good job, Willow. I think it's important for us to think about those bigger gifts. How are we stewarding grace in this world? When we come across somebody who is guilty as of sin and we know it, and maybe they've been living in it for a while and they keep going back to it, are we the person who comes to them, up to them and says, you better quit that because you are a sinner and you're going to be condemned to hell? Or that you better stop that before you hurt someone else? Are we the person that comes alongside them and says, you know what? I believe that you have a great life ahead of you. I'm not going to condemn you right now, but could we live? Could we walk together and try to live a new life? I say that as though it's very simple. It's a lot more complicated than that. Yeah. Yes, think that says it better. That we're gonna. Yeah. Right. Right. Can we love them where they are and let God convict them and let God let them grow? This really is how God, that's the joy that we have in Christ. Can we extend that to others? Alongside this, I think about God's forgiveness, right? Not a whole lot different, but the fact that God is forgiving. How forgiving are we of others? Do we hold them to that thing that they did to us at whatever point in their lives? And we're never going to trust them again? Or do we give people opportunity to grow and change? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there is that confession part. I have learned through some experiences too. There is a step that a person has to take that they actually admit to their sin and they seek repentance. Before that, forgiveness can be real, but Jesus didn't wait for us to repent before He offered forgiveness. Are we the kind of people who offer the opportunity for forgiveness for people? Or do we build a wall and say, nope, you've done it, you're done? Right? Can we extend, can we steward forgiveness in this world? I tell you, this world needs these things. They seem like such small things because maybe that small is not the right word, but we experience them all the time in the church. We experience God's grace and forgiveness and love and fellowship. And we don't always understand how lacking these things are in the world and what a powerful difference they make in people's lives. We're called to be the stewards of those gifts in this world. Any other thoughts that you have on gifts that we've been given, like those to steward?
In verse you read in Colossians, it says that we will have strength to do what needs to be done, and we will not give up when it's troubled.
Right.
That's the fruit that the Holy Spirit gives.
Yeah.
We will
not give up when troubles come, but we will be patient. That's true. That is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And can we steward those gifts as well? Just demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. Oh. Yeah. That's become a defining characteristic of our current culture, this quiet quitting. I'm just going to do the minimum that I have to do to get by. I'm not going to let anyone ask me any more of me. Right, this is all I'm getting paid to do. The opposite of that is what God, right, and that's the opposite of what God calls us to do, to generously give of what we have. And what a difference that makes when we model that in the world, right? The last one I wrote down was just the gift of love. That love that God has given us. We're called to bear with one another. We're called to be kind and tenderhearted and forgiving to one another. Do we steward that gift of loving kindness that God has given us and showing that? We just talked to somebody yesterday, a shopkeeper in Northfield, who we're talking about sharing hope with people, and she talked about how somebody told her that she was being too kind, right? To dial it back just a little bit. And we're like, no, we're going to encourage you to keep cranking it up, right? This world needs more kindness. Let's not hold back. And I know the message is out there. It's, oh, you're just, you know, when people see it, they don't know what to do with it, right? And so they might tell you just it's just too much, or they just, we need to hold that back, and we might respond by a little bit of fear of, well, maybe I am too much. God fills us to overflowing, to overflow into this world with all we have. And let's just keep being those overly loving people in this world because the world needs it. If you do something good for someone and you get in trouble by your boss, well, I mean, I would, yeah, I don't know the whole story there, but I think if you're generally doing something good, you just continue to do the good. You express, this is why I did it. And well, sometimes people are not going to respond well to our gifts of generosity. Sure. Yeah. Well, what is there's a famous saying out there that's attributed to Mother Teresa, I think, about people are going to hurt you. Continue to do good. People are going to respond badly. Continue to do good. So the short answer is just continue to do good no matter how people respond, because it's the right thing to do. Right? People will respond badly, and we don't know why. We have to extend them grace as well, but we continue to do the right thing. We continue to extend grace and mercy and love and forgiveness. I'm going to wrap it up there, unless somebody had another gift that you want to share quick. But I hope you, I think the point is pretty clear, right? We're called to be stewards. And I want to extend that idea of sharing our talents with the world beyond just our skills and abilities. That is an important part of it. But to think about those bigger gifts that God has put into us. The things that we enjoy so much, let's be good stewards of those as well. Invest those into the people around you. And be amazed at what a difference it makes and what the Holy Spirit does through those acts of grace and love and forgiveness. Let's pray and give thanks to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your love. For your mercy, for your grace, Lord. We depend on those things. Our hope is founded in those things. And I thank you for the way that you continue to pour yourself out into our lives, for the love that you show us each and every day. May we be good stewards of those gifts, Father. May the efforts that we go to share what you've given us produce good fruit in this world, Lord. We all desire to stand before you one day to present to you not only the gifts that you've given us, but the return that has come of the investment that we have done in this world. All for your glory, because you are good. In Jesus' name, amen.